church is what is known as Pentecostal by type. By that I mean there are churches of all denominations, but they would have a certain distinctive about them, which is a confidence in the power of the Spirit and some understanding of that. Then you have Pentecostal by denomination, as it were, and we are Pentecostal, this church, by denomination, Elam Pentecostal, and Pentecostal by type. And Pentecostals, as I said last week, they're the largest section of the global Christian church. It is the fastest growing, numbering at the last count about 600 million, but still growing, and still growing in this country as well. And that a feature of Pentecostal belief is an understanding and experience of the Holy Spirit. So it's not just knowledge about something, but it's experience of something as well. And I'd said I would do a three-week thing. It's going to have to be four because the middle one is divided in two now. But I said I would do a look over 3 weeks of some of the basics, an introduction to the Spirit gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I'm doing part two of that today, and then Holy Spirit baptism. So I plan to do that next week. So last week we read in 1 Corinthians 12, so I'll read those verses again. It's verses 1 to 11. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. So we had looked at a number of those gifts of the Spirit last week, and now we come to the gift of prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14:39 says, therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues. Well, what do we mean by prophecy? Well, for the benefit of those who might be listening to this recording, of course, we've had a testimony this morning already, haven't we? Somebody who was been praying said that heard me going on about hearing from God and were walking in the night and ended up writing down this word of encouragement. And she brought it to me. I liked it. I said, will you please email it to me so I could read it again and prayerfully and slowly, which she did. And then I thought, we all ought to hear this. So we listened to it. Well, if we're hearing from God, is that prophecy? Well, not really technically, because prophecy is when we speak it out. So I suppose what happened in this case that I'm mentioning is that she heard, she received, so I suppose you could say she received a prophecy, but it was made a prophecy, as it were, in that it was communicated. And if we look in Scripture, we'll see that sometimes it's written, or sometimes what is written down is what had been spoken out. But the other reason I felt that was a really great, appropriate thing to include was because it wasn't something that was trying to be very complex or anything like that, this word of encouragement we received, but it was a very authentic, wasn't it, real encouragement that we had a shared sense, didn't we, that, yeah, this is from God and it speaks to us, and we could understand how it had spoken to her as well. So prophecy, it's something that it's meant to be a normal part of the life of Christians, both in fellowships and as individuals. The idea of hearing from God, and some people had gone off onto that course on prophecy, and Adam was just reminding us of that then, and we heard from people that had been on that course. Notice that we're trying to say, as we gather together these testimonies, that hearing from God, having a relationship with our Jesus, is what Christianity is about. It's not the exceptional or the unusual. The exceptional or unusual would be somebody who never hears anything, who never seems to have any sense of relationship with God. That would be exceptional and unusual. Anyway, moving on. David, the last words of David, 2 Samuel chapter 23, he says, these are the last words of David, the oracle of David, son of Jesse, the oracle of the man exalted by the Most High, the man anointed by the God of Jacob, Israel's singer of songs. And then he says this, the Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. He's claiming prophetic ministry, the ministry of being prophetic. And we know he was, even through the songs as well. In Acts chapter 13, it's describing the life of this early church. There were very early churches as well, you know. And we get an idea that these gifts of the Spirit were active then. In Acts chapter 13, it says, in the church of Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. It says the Holy Spirit said. Of course, Luke wrote the book of Acts. Perhaps Luke could have written it a different way. Luke could have said, and so-and-so prophesied in the power of the Spirit. But when it says the Holy Spirit said, what does he mean by that? My conclusion, because he's already said there were prophets and teachers there, this is something that was a prophetic word into the gathering, and they dared to believe it and act upon it, and they did separate Barnabas and Saul. Why would everybody do that? Because one person speaks out. Why would the others recognize it as coming from God? We'll get to that in a little while. One of the things to note, however, is that prophecy will never contradict truth. Revelation 19, verse 10, at this I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So if the spirit of prophecy is the life of Jesus, the revelation of Jesus, it's not going to contradict what that same Jesus has already said. And we know in Galatians, Paul's letter to the Galatians, they were being deceived by people who were bringing a false gospel. Some of them perhaps even paraded themselves as saying, this is the word of the Lord. This is a prophetic word. And Paul was having to write something to them. Very obvious, but here it isn't recorded in Scripture for us. He said, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Can you imagine how subtle it could be done, and how confusing it could have been to very new Christians if somebody said, this is the word of the Lord. The Lord says to you now, and supposedly speaks a prophetic word, and a new Christian thinking, oh dear, do I respect this person? Everybody else seems to respect this person. Who do I believe? What do I believe? And then he says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. In fact, prophecy in New Testament context, we tend to find that it's not revealing new things. It tends to be reinforcing known things. In 1 Corinthians 14:39, be eager to prophesy. Do not forbid speaking in tongues. But what do they mean by that? It goes on in 1 Corinthians 14:3, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. It's an emotional impact upon people's lives for their strengthening, their encouragement. and their comfort. I have known people who have heard a word from God in a moment. Perhaps somebody has spoken it to them. Sometimes even in a conversation, and they've thought, whoa, that wasn't just a conversation. God spoke to me. And they've seized on that word that they've known as an authentic word from God, and it has sustained their faith in difficult situations for years. Such is the power of a prophetic word that can sort of, if you forgive my language, land in the right place. How it seems to apply to an individual's life. Now, some people may be used in prophecy more than others. Perhaps even regularly, we could say. I just read a bit where it says, in the church there were apostles. Acts 13, verse 2, in the church of Antioch there were prophets and teachers. So there were some people who were known for their teaching ability. Perhaps many could share from Scripture, but some particularly were known for their teaching ability and God's anointing on them for that ministry. And in the same way, there were others recognized. They had a touch of God upon them for prophecy. So maybe they would prophesy.